VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America for a very, what I believe to be a very important topic and a very important program. The deep state never takes a break, but it will keep a vendetta, and we're going to see that play out here today. We're seeing unprecedented actions being taken in our country. Look what's transpired in just the last few days and weeks. We're talking about a raid on a former president. The march continues with the World Health Organization for a global pandemic treaty. There's a push for central bank digital currency. We now have college grads who have diligently paid off their own student loans, now being forced by the Biden administration to pay off the student loans of others, along with other individuals, every one of us taxpayers across the nation. We've got the IRS that's amassing ammunition. They're recruiting police academy-style armed agents. We have a former CIA director calling out the Republican Party as extremist and dangerous on an unprecedented level. We've got a dangerous climate bill branded as an Inflation Reduction Act passed. And friends, we're just scratching the top of this mammoth iceberg. Addressing these issues, we welcome back to Crosstalk Alex Newman. He's an award-winning international freelance journalist, an author, researcher, educator, consultant. He is a senior editor for The New American, contributes to many other publications as well, author of Crimes of the Educators and Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes. He is a founder of Liberty Sentinel, also going to be the speaker for a VCY rally coming up on September 17th. We'll talk more about that. But Alex, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Great to be with you. Thank you so much for having me, Jim.
Alex, you have indicated in a video you made recently that these are dangerous times for our republic. Tell us your concern.
Yeah, in fact, I think our republic is right now facing an existential threat. I think we are in a very dangerous time, and not even just our country, not even just our constitutional republic and our form of government, but our entire civilization, the Christian civilization that developed over 2,000 years with its foundation in the Word of God and the revealed truth that God has given people. It's on the line right now. And that's, the church obviously will survive, and the church will continue to thrive no matter what happens. But, the wonderful political system that was birthed from the ideas that came out of the Bible, I think, is in great danger, especially in the United States and in Western Europe. And, we're just seeing so many attacks. It's like every day there's new ones, and I don't know how much more of this our nation can handle before it buckles.
Yeah, indeed. We're going to break down several of these issues here today, and I'd like to let's first address this first ever in our nation's history raid on the household of a former president.
It is truly extraordinary. It feels very surreal. It feels very much like living in some sort of third world banana republic. And I grew up in the third world and lived in many banana republics. And, it really has that feeling to it, where you have a president whose administration is clouded in scandal, who came to power in an election that is perceived as very dubious. In fact, the polling data shows most Americans believe the 2020 election was marred by fraud. And then using and weaponizing the FBI to go after not just his opponent in the last election, but almost certainly his main opponent in the coming election, who also just so happens to be probably the most single influential player in the upcoming midterm elections for Congress. It has a very bizarre, surreal feel to it. And of course, when you put it into the broader context, you see even more troubling. You have the FBI chasing down parents who speak out too vociferously at school board meetings. Mm-hmm. You have the FBI raiding the home of James O'Keefe, one of the last real journalists in this country, doing actual investigations and exposing actual wrongdoing. We now know that the Biden administration has been pressured. In fact, the FBI pressured Twitter. It just came out to silence the revelations about Hunter Biden's laptop. So when you take all this together, it really has the feel of a third world dictatorship, where law enforcement isn't actually dedicated to upholding and preserving and protecting the legal system, and especially the Constitution they all take an oath to uphold, but rather to persecuting political dissidents and basically being the stormtroopers for the people who are currently in power. And, you know, this is, I think, unique in America. Certainly we've had plenty of corruption over the years, but never so brazen and never so systemic.
What do you see as being the implications of this raid on Mar-a-Lago?
Well, to me, it really feels like at this point, they're just showing the whole world that they don't even care anymore. You know, we used to have things like this, but they happened quietly and covertly, never something so brazen where the whole entire world would look at that and say, wow, that just happened, and it happened in the open. So I think we are in danger of moving into a very new era in our history, an unprecedented era in America's history, where the protections that we have enjoyed for almost 250 years, protections that many of us have taken for granted, protections for our God-given rights as enshrined in the Constitution and our state constitutions, are really in danger of not just being ignored, but completely trampled upon. And also, I mean, this has implications even for people's behavior, right? Now many people see this and they get intimidated. Take Trump, for example. Trump is right now having trouble finding attorneys to represent him in these cases, and you can see why. Everybody around Trump has faced similar persecution. You look at all of his leadership team, his campaign manager, Paul Manafort, ended up in prison. Roger Stone had his house raided by the FBI in a pre-dawn raid. Peter Navarro was frog-marched out of an airport in leg shackles. Steve Bannon is being prosecuted for contempt of Congress when Attorney General Eric Holder was held in contempt of Congress and is still walking around free. Michael Flynn was prosecuted with an obviously phony prosecution where they even threatened his son to get him to plead guilty. So you take all this together and you realize now that the federal government has been weaponized against the political opposition, really against the people who want to preserve our system of government. So it's very dangerous, and if it weren't for the Lord telling us that the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, it would be very frightening.
Indeed. You know, I'd like to air an audio clip here of Chuck Schumer. It was just brought to my attention today on this clip. He was on the air with Rachel Maddow of MSNBC. This is January 2017, shortly after President Trump was elected, ready to take office. And here is what he said, because he was questioning, President Trump at that time was challenging the intelligence community. And here is what transpired in that interview.
But he's taking these shots, this antagonism, yep. This taunting to the intelligence community.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community would do if they were motivated?
I don't know, but from what I am told, they are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about them.
Interesting clip there, Alex.
It is, and in fact, I've used that clip in some of my talks on the deep state, and it's one of many. I mean, it's basically an open secret in Washington, D.C., that you cross the intelligence community, and they have six ways from Sunday to getting back at you, and we're seeing that play out right now. And we also see this incredible double standard where, flagrant criminality. I mean, just absolutely brazen criminality. Everybody has now seen what happened with Hunter Biden. I mean, the evidence of criminal activity on his laptop is overwhelming, and yet Hunter Biden's home has not been raided. There have been no indictments. There have been no charges. He wasn't frog-marched out of any airport wearing leg shackles, and we all saw that. And I mean, it's not just smoking crack. I mean, we're talking selling out our country's best interests to hostile foreign powers in exchange for money, and then giving 10% to the big guy, which, of course, is Joe Biden, who's sitting in the White House right now. And nothing's happening about it. The media is keeping it under wraps. The FBI is bullying social media companies not to talk about it. It's simply amazing. And you know, to go back to that clip for one moment, Jim, I've got a clip where a whole panel of former CIA chiefs was asked about this concept of a deep state, because Trump had been complaining that the deep state was after him. And they asked the former CIA director, John McLaughlin, about this idea that Trump had spread that the deep state was after him. And he responds with, thank God for the deep state. This is just lawlessness.
Wow. It is lawlessness. And you mentioned the social media, and now we have Zuckerberg just coming out here in the last couple of days talking about the contact that they received from the FBI as far as Facebook. And so, they altered what they did on Facebook. They took issues pertaining to Hunter Biden and the laptop, removed it from their news feeds, and buried this stuff. Oh, he said we allowed, there was some discussion on it, but they removed it from there because, you know, they got this warning from the FBI.
Yep. And we're seeing that across the board. In fact, just moments before we went on, I was talking to Dr. Shiva Ayaduri, who ran for Senate in Massachusetts, and he actually sued the government and Twitter because he was kicked off of Twitter when he started talking about election fraud. And what he found out in the discovery process was that the government had what was described as a VIP line directly to Twitter, and it was the government that had told Twitter to throw him off of the platform. Now we found out that Alex Berenson, same situation. The Biden White House was pressuring Twitter to remove him from the platform because he was exposing some of the problems with the COVID injections and some of the problems with the COVID narrative. So this is flagrantly illegal. The First Amendment makes very clear that the federal government has no business silencing or regulating anybody's speech. And yet it's happening, and it's happening across the board, not just on COVID, not just on election fraud, right, but on a whole range of issues.
I'd like to just play yet another audio clip. This is journalist Cheryl Atkinson sharing a very disturbing threat made by, well, I guess the FBI to intimidate her. She was being questioned by Matt Gaetz.
Far too long to be able to clear those matters up.
May I say, one little reported facet of my case is one of the federal agents involved in one of the operations against me said that they intended to plant child porn in my husband's computer. This is the FBI. There's been a case that's currently in litigation, unrelated, in which an FBI agent has testified that they did that. They have done that. It was not accomplished in my case. I guess the curtain was drawn on that facet of the operation prior to them doing it. But imagine how you ever get out of that. They knew we had a young daughter at home and had allegedly conspired to do that.
I mean, she's talking, Alex, the other to Matt Gaetz, you know, totally destroying the FBI, having the ability to totally destroy, implanting child porn.
Yep, and I mean, that is something that literally destroys you for the rest of your life. And just a few days ago, I mean, this was crazy. A former FBI agent, or maybe even a current FBI agent, pleaded guilty in a case where he admitted that he destroyed evidence, exculpatory evidence that was that would have cleared Arkansas State Senator John Woods. Now, State Senator John Woods was the first elected official in Arkansas to endorse Trump's campaign in 2016. He was accused by the FBI of so-called fraud in a very bizarre case. And now, just this week, the FBI, the lead FBI agent on the case, his name is Robert Cesario, was charged with corrupt destruction of a record in an official proceeding because when the court ordered him to hand over his laptop to the defense so they could see this exculpatory evidence, he actually paid somebody to have all the evidence deleted. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, it's like the FBI has become almost a criminal operation masquerading as a law enforcement agency, and it's running around terrorizing and destroying opponents of the deep state and the current administration.
Alex Newman, our guest here today on Crosstalk. We're coming up against a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the weaponizing of the IRS, the so-called Inflation Reduction Act as well. 87,000 more IRS agents. We'll be getting into those aspects as well as what this means as far as the so-called attacking man-made global climate change. That will be part of it as well. So stay with us, friends. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network. Alex Newman is our guest. Website, thenewamerican.com. TheNewAmerican.com. Also, you'll find articles and info at LibertySentinel.org. Back in 1 minute here on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, the pterosaurs were flying reptiles, but were they good flyers or not?
Chris, it's hard to know because we've never seen one fly. We do see their skeletal remains, and some of them were absolutely huge. How could they have flown? A scientific study of some of their skulls has given us some clues. That portion of the brain which integrates input from the different sensory organs was large in the pterosaurs, much larger than in other creatures. This gives us the impression that the creature was a good flyer. Of course, evolutionists propose that all these functions and organs came about by natural selection. What could have given some non-flying creature this ability? A much better idea is that God created these huge creatures as a monument to his creative ability and imagination. Today, we just sit back and marvel. And it's been that way ever since, back in Genesis.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for going back to Genesis.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're talking about the deep state at work. Folks, it never gives up. It doesn't have a 40-hour work week. It continues on and on and on. All part of this great reset. There is a connection between the two. And Alex is going to be joining us here in Southeast Wisconsin for a VCY rally taking place Saturday, September 17th. 6 p.m. at the Waukesha Expo. Doors will open at 5. There is no cost for admission. We do take up a free will offering to help offset the expenses of the evening. But we invite you to come out and be at the Waukesha Expo on September 17th. 6 p.m. we get started. 5 p.m. doors will open. And we will be broadcasting this over the VCY American Network. Not locally, but over the network at 6 p.m. Central Time. And certainly stations are invited to pick up the broadcast as it takes place that evening. A lot of information that Alex will be exposing that evening and sharing. And, of course, with that reminder that it is God that who does not give us that spirit of fear, but a power and a love and of a sound mind. We are understanding of the times in which we live, and at the same time, we know the importance of occupying until he does come again, and staying engaged as salt, staying engaged as light. Alex, let's talk about the weaponization of the IRS, and we're going to combine this with the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, 87,000 more agents, but this weaponizing is pretty frightening, and especially, and I've seen the video of these police academy-styled training sessions going on.
It is very, very bizarre. Again, you know, in an election year for the midterm, to think that they would think it's a good idea to hire 87,000 additional agents and then put out advertisements. I mean, some of the ads that they put out for new agents that they're hiring said that they have to be willing to carry a firearm and use deadly force. And some of these training programs where they're running around, they don't even know how to hold a firearm properly, mm-hmm. and they're shouting at some guy, I suppose he's an actor. And the model scenario is apparently the guy didn't properly itemize his deductions for his landscaping business. I mean, the deception that's going on here is just rampant. In fact, even in marketing this bill, there was a massive level of deception. The numerous Biden administration officials said that this wasn't going to result in an increase in the number of people being audited who earn less than $400,000 a year. And yet, as Janet Yellen passed the regulations that are going to be used to implement this, it became very clear that, yes, it's absolutely going to be targeting people who make less than $400,000 a year. I've got some of the numbers, actually. Let me see if I can find it. The Wall Street Journal had them. They looked at the IRS's own data, and what they found was that 95% of all the audits that are performed by the IRS happen on people who earn less than $200,000 a year. And when Janet Yellen put in this regulation to start implementing this, all she said was that the proportion has to be the same. So you can be sure that 95% of the people audited going forward will be making less than $200,000 a year. That means many, many, many additional members of the middle class and even poor people will be targeted for these kinds of very intrusive things. And I think very few conservatives, at least, have forgotten that just a few years ago, the IRS was caught red-handed targeting and persecuting conservatives and Christians and patriots simply based off the names of their organizations. Lois Lerner famously pled the Fifth Amendment to avoid incriminating herself on this, and then she sailed off into the sunset with her pension. So this is very, very disturbing, Jim.
It is disturbing, and just the massive arms buildup that's taking place, not only with the IRS, but with other federal agencies as well, is pretty alarming. We are also regularly seeing legislation that is, I believe, purposely, and I'm sure you believe too, purposely misnamed so as to deceive the public. I mean, we saw the impact of the so-called Affordable Care Act, and that should have been warning enough, but now we had the Inflation Reduction Act that is not going to reduce inflation, but Alex, there's going to be a whole lot more that happens as a result of this legislation passing, thanks to Senator Manchin of West Virginia caving.
There's no question about it. It would have been more appropriately named throwing gasoline on the Inflation Fire Act, because that's exactly what this is going to do. But it's even worse than that, Jim. One of the elements of the bill that is so significant that really hasn't been talked about much at all, unfortunately, they actually just did a roundabout on the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court recently, in a case involving West Virginia, struck down the EPA's usurped authority to run around shutting down and regulating power plants under the guise of carbon dioxide, the gas of life, being a pollutant. They said EPA doesn't have this power. Congress never intended the EPA to have this power, and so you must stop. Well, in the Inflation Reduction Act, there are multiple clear references to carbon dioxide as pollution. And so what they did, they said, okay, Supreme Court, you're going to smack that down. Well, we're just going to come right back. We're going to define carbon dioxide, the gas of life, as pollution, and that's going to now give the EPA the authority to go and basically terrorize anyone and everything that produces CO2, which, for some perspective, the average human being releases about 2 pounds of CO2 just by breathing every single day.
Yeah, I find it interesting some of the terminology utilized in this as well. And Biden's Energy Secretary Granholm just recently had indicated in this interview with Voice of America, just I believe it was last Friday, saying, my counterpart in Ireland, the energy minister there, has said that no one has ever weaponized access to the sun. No one has ever weaponized the wind. Perhaps a move to clean energy will be the greatest peace plan the world has ever known. That's how they're going to be branding this. This is a peace plan for this world.
Yeah, and it really is quite preposterous, but this is the direction that the deep state is going. In fact, Foreign Affairs, the magazine of the Council on Foreign Relations, just featured a very significant article on the future of energy across the Western world, and they were very clear about what's going to happen. The government is going to massively intervene in energy markets. They're going to dictate how energy shall be produced, who may access it, in what amounts, and this is actually the basis of the technocratic economy that they want to build. It depends on scarcity. It depends on people being dependent for everything, including their energy. And what's especially traumatic and horrific about all this, Jim, is that even if you believe in the man-made global warming hypothesis, and I think it's preposterous, but even if you believe it, the idea that shutting down our energy production, shutting down our power plants, shutting down our factories in America because they can't afford electricity and still compete in global markets, and then shipping all of that to China, where every unit of economic output produces far more CO2 than does in the United States, the idea that this would somehow help solve global warming, again, assuming you believe the hypothesis, which I think is silly, but assuming you believe it, is so ludicrous that it's hard to imagine that even a dyed-in-the-wool environmentalist global warming believer could actually think that this is a reasonable mechanism for stopping global warming. So clearly something else is the agenda. The people pushing this know very well that that's not about global warming, something totally different.
There's another aspect to this, and it's also how this is going to be policed. And I don't say that lightly. I just also saw the Boston Globe had a story here about the police chief. This is Jack Pilecki, Wellesley police chief, talking about climate change being a crime against our planet. This was he released in part in a video release.
Hello, my name is Jack Pilecki, and I'm the chief of the Wellesley Police Department. Our environment is in crisis right now. Between greenhouse gases trapping heat in our atmosphere and man-made waste filling our oceans and covering our lands, our world is being destroyed right before our eyes. So, why is the police chief talking to you about this? Because what's happening is a crime. It is a crime against all our citizens, young and old, and it's a crime against our planet. And if I can help make a difference, it is important that I speak out about this issue.
Alex, are we going to start seeing police taking action, crimes against our planet by its citizens?
That's exactly what's coming, Jim. And it sounds preposterous, right? You hear that and you think, that is simply ridiculous. And yet the DOJ has now created an entire division that is going to focus on so-called environmental crimes. Same thing is happening in Canada. Just a few years ago, they unleashed what they're calling the Environmental Enforcement Directorate, which, you know, sounds like something straight out of the Soviet Union. And they intend to use these powers and these law enforcement tools to basically wage war on the middle class, wage war on small independent farmers and producers. In fact, the SEC is bringing a lot of this in right now. The SEC has proposed these regulations that are going to force all public companies to report their downstream so-called emissions. And putting that into plain English and practical terms, what that means is that every family farm, every small farm, every medium farm that sells any of its crops or its produce to any company that's publicly traded is now going to have to track all of these various metrics and emissions and CO2 emissions and methane emissions and nitrogen emissions. And numerous farm associations and over 100 members of Congress have already said in very plain English, no beating around the bush, this is going to bankrupt an unbelievable number of farmers. Same thing is happening all over the world with this war on farmers and producers.
Yeah.
What we're seeing now is the destruction of the independent middle class, the independent producers, to make way for an entirely different and radically totalitarian economic system.
Folks, what's happening, and again, this is not just the U.S. Alex, I know that Europe has been coming into virtually climate lockdowns taking place there, and many have wondered, will the U.S. be next on climate lockdowns? I saw in the Euro Weekly News, the average price of electricity in Spain, huge rise just took place earlier this week, and the rise of utilities all around the world is just off the charts.
Oh, yeah, and they're actually now warning people in Switzerland, one of the most prosperous places on planet Earth. Some of their law enforcement leaders are coming out and saying because of these blackouts that we're expecting come this winter, we should be preparing for civil unrest. In the UK, they're already warning people you might not have power to heat your home this winter. It might affect the food supply. So we are headed into some very, very tough times for the Western world. All of this was self-inflicted. Right, they're going to blame climate change, they're going to blame capitalism, they're going to blame greed, but ultimately all of this was by design. It was engineered to bring about precisely the result that we're seeing.
And friends, it's happening country after country. Again, Breitbart just recently reported part of this whole Great Reset that the French government is recruiting 3,000 green police just over this issue of climate change, Alex. And
yep.
and it is, you know, we could go country after country as to see what's going on, but to see that we're at war on this issue here in the U.S. as well, but it's not just isolated thing that's going on here. Now, we understand Bill Gates seemed to have quite an influence on this recent climate bill, this Inflation Reduction Act, his pressuring Joe Manchin and his direct involvement in this issue.
Yep, and Bill Gates is one of many. Right? They're deeply involved with the World Economic Forum. They're regular attendees at the Bilderberg. They're deeply involved with the Council on Foreign Relations. And they have a worldview that even on the surface, right, even if you don't dig down past their public statements, is not just contrary to Scripture, not just contrary to what God has told us, but radically opposed and incompatible in every way. Right? Bill Gates has made known many times his view that there are too many people on the planet, that we need to slow the population, that we need to ultimately reduce the population, and he is working and collaborating very closely with other people who believe this as well. So, you know, we have a serious problem on our hands where people who hate God or reject God and defy his very clear commands are trying to run everybody's lives. And so this is very problematic.
And friends, keep in mind, as we mentioned yesterday on the program, as President Biden is now coming forth with brand new executive orders because this Inflation Reduction Act, due to compromise with Joe Manchin, couldn't put in all this Green New Deal stuff, but he's going to be doing it now by executive action. Ladies and gentlemen, he's legislating. That's a violation of our Constitution. It's a violation of the separation of powers. We're going to hit the issue of this student loan forgiveness right after the break, and also we're going to, Lord willing, get into the central bank digital currency as well. All part of what's going on within these deep state efforts. And friends, it's all linked together with the Great Reset. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Looking back at Dwight L. Moody's life, it is tempting to focus solely on what God accomplished through a common man from Northfield, Massachusetts. Preaching to millions, starting multiple schools, spearheading the Christian publishing movement, and inspiring men and women to Christian service is difficult to ignore. Yet surely, why God used D.L. Moody is as important as how God used him. In the book, Useful to God, author James Spencer presents 8 lessons from the life of D.L. Moody with practical applications for the reader. You'll see how he was surrendered, prayerful, studious, and more as he was consumed with a passion for lost souls. This book will challenge you to cultivate these characteristics in your own life. Useful to God is available for a donation of $17 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman is with us here today. I know it's a number of topics, but folks, there is so much that's going on. I was just telling Alex we could go in depth for multiple days on so many of these issues, but trying to give you a broad picture of what's taking place. And Alex, we're talking about this, the deep state being at work, but this is all really connected to the Great Reset, is it not?
It is. Yeah, the Great Reset is kind of the framework for this total transformation of every element of life on the planet. They've got several other catchy marketing slogans that they're using, Build Back Better, Green New Deal, New World Order, but it all is ultimately moving us in the same direction of a global technocratic regime, really, I think is the best way to describe what these people are angling for, that will completely upend thousands of years of Western civilization, liberties that have been, at least in the Anglo-Saxon world, protected for, you know, 1,000 years. It's extremely dangerous, extremely troubling, and it's coming at us like a freight train.
It really is. Let's hit this issue of the student loan forgiveness that is coming from the president. Does he have the authority to do what he's doing?
Well, it's interesting that even 1 year ago, Nancy Pelosi, the Democrat leader in Congress, made very clear in a press conference that Biden did not have the authority to do this. I've got the video. She said it publicly.
Let me just interrupt you. Here it is.
People think that the president of the United States has the power for debt forgiveness. He does not. He can postpone. He can delay. But he does not have that power. That has to be an act of Congress.
Alex, that's 1 year ago. You just mentioned it. Today, she's saying that he's taken bold action.
Yep. And I mean, really, as Christians, we need to call this what it is. It's thievery. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. And there's no forgiveness going on here. This is not an issue of forgiveness. This is taking money from people who earned it, really plumbers, mechanics, engineers, you know, people who did not go into an absurd amount of debt, partying for 4 years in college, getting a gender studies degree or an underwater basket weaving degree, and taking the money from these people and giving it to basically Biden voters, people who are likely to support the policies of the current administration. It's completely unconstitutional. I mean, the federal government has no business being involved in any of these sectors, period. And so this is not forgiveness. This is basically transferring the debt from the people who incurred the debt onto the backs of taxpayers who did not incur the debt.
Yeah, and I think of all the young people who did not go to college saying, I can't afford it, but now they are being forced to pay the student loans of those who did go and amass the debt.
Yep, and it sends a very clear signal. You know, I worked two jobs while I was in college. I worked the overnight shift at the radio station. I didn't have time to go out and party or do all the things that I would have wanted to do because I didn't want to dig myself deep into debt. So yeah. I went to a state university, and I did everything I could to avoid going into debt, and I did it successfully. I graduated with no debt, with a little bit of help from my parents, and there are millions of Americans who've done exactly the same thing. And so this is a very clear signal from the federal government. Don't bother being frugal. Don't bother working hard. Go waste 4 years of your life getting a useless degree with Marxist propaganda at some university. It's a bailout to these Marxist indoctrination centers and the people who very foolishly took on ridiculous amounts of debt. So I mean, it's just wrong in every possible way. And it's interesting, even the chairman of Obama's Council of Economic Advisors has come out and described this as throwing gasoline on the inflation fire, yep. Said it was totally outrageous. So I almost wonder, though, Jim, if they're not just doing this to just kind of keep us distracted, you know, hey, quick, throw something else at them. Yeah, throw something else, mm-hmm. So that we can't even catch our breath and get a handle on what's going on.
Yeah, and that's happening on so many different fronts here because it's like wildfires that are springing up in many different locations. I see the clock is going, but I'd like you to hit this whole matter of the central bank digital currency as well, because this is gaining ground as well. We know that there are efforts being made in many nations right now to go about with a digital currency. Some have alluded to, and I don't have the full information here, on an executive order from the president. Some have referred to dealing with a C-Day or Biden bucks, a central bank digital currency executive order, 14067, talking about December 13th and disrupting our financial system, et cetera. I don't know if you have any details on it, but if you would at least comment on this central bank digital currency.
Yeah, so this executive order is extremely troubling. They're basically taking the steps needed to implement this digital currency. Now, this has been on the agenda for a long time. I've been covering it for a very long time because it's such a central element of the New World Order, Great Reset agenda that they're pursuing. Essentially, as we move away from cash and toward this kind of programmable digital currency, you literally lose all ability to transact without permission and dependence on the mega corporations and the government. You also, incidentally, lose all privacy. Right now, you can go to the store, you can buy a loaf of bread, hand them a $5 bill. Nobody's going to know it. There's not going to be any record of it. MasterCard, Visa, the Biden administration, the IRS cannot analyze that, run it through their supercomputers and the artificial intelligence. But as they move away from cash, these central bank digital currencies will allow them to completely monitor and also completely control everything you buy. And so in this new economy that they're trying to build, these central bank digital currencies will be programmable. So if your social credit score drops below a certain level, you may have your bank account shut off entirely. If you exceed your carbon footprint allowance for the month, you may not be allowed to buy the dinner that you want. You may have to eat lentils instead of hamburger, right? And that's the direction that they're going. And by the way, I think it's important to mention, Jim, this is happening at a global level. This is centrally coordinated. The Bank for International Settlements is coordinating central bank policy all over the world. The communist Chinese were the first ones to pioneer it. But this is not a uniquely American phenomenon. This is not just the Biden administration. This is happening everywhere. It's coordinated. It's deliberate. And it means the end of economic freedom and privacy, with implications that I think we still haven't even worked out completely.
Yeah, let me just share the opening paragraph of a CBN News story earlier this week. Some are warning that the European Union is undergoing a Chinification. The EU will reportedly test a new digital identity program for its citizens later this year, with a rollout plan for September 2023. Critics warn that it's a Trojan horse that will place too much personal information in the hands of the government. Here we have, Alex, Brussels rolling out a brand new digital identity system for EU citizens.
Yeah, and the same thing is happening here. There are at least 8 states now that have launched pilot projects for digital identity systems, including Mississippi, Utah, Maryland. The World Economic Forum is now recommending this to all nations. And it actually fits right in with what Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, has described as the fourth industrial revolution, which he says is a critical part of the Great Reset. And he describes it over and over and over again. I mean, you can just go onto any video platform, search place. I'll probably show the clip when I'm up there in a couple of weeks. He describes the end result of this fourth industrial revolution as a fusion of the digital, the biological, and the physical worlds all into one kind of surreal environment. And that's where this is all ultimately leading, if it's not stopped either by us or by God.
Yeah, indeed. And Pakistan, another place, their interior minister right now warning that outspoken critics of their current government could find their biometric identity cards blocked, leaving them without any access to their bank accounts. And that aspect of control is all completely tied into this.
Yeah, and I think that is just a sneak preview of where all of this is going to end up if it continues. And I've been telling people for many, many years, I first reported on China's social credit system, I think back in 2014 or 2015. If you want to know what the global system is going to look like if it's not stopped, take a look at communist China today. They are the model that the Klaus Schwabs, the Bill Gates, the globalist deep state operatives of the world want to move all of us into.
Alex Newman, our guest here today on Crosstalk. Websites thenewamerican.com, libertysentinel.org. We're opening our lines here at 800-733-9829. We're talking about the deep state at work. And friends, it's been kind of a rapid fire approach to many different issues that are going on. But just to give you an example of what is taking place, matter of fact, I think, Alex, you've used sometimes the term the tentacles of the deep state and just connect with the FBI and so many different agencies and so forth. But it should really help us understand the big picture rather than just looking at these matters as being isolated incidents.
And I think that's critical, Jim. I don't think you can understand all of this unless you look at it all holistically and put it all together. You can't just look at one of these things and say, wow, that's a big problem. Yeah, it's a big problem, but all of it taken together shows you a very, very clear intent, as the Founding Fathers put it, to reduce us into absolute despotism.
Let's go to the phone lines here. We got Brad calling from West Dallas. So you're on the air, Brad.
Hey, Brother Jim. Once again, this is all this stuff is just them hating Jesus and hating him first, which is why they hate us. It's why they hate free market capitalism. And which is the system that the biblical God, Jesus, put into motion? Free market capitalism, which requires private property. We know this because he tells people how to do business. He wants even weights, not varying ones. And he says, thou shalt not steal. So you have private property. And then they say, no private property. We don't like private property. Oh, yeah, they like private property. They just don't like our private property. People need to wise up. This leaning towards socialism is not only destructive, it is just plain dumb. You need to read your Bible and remember, whatever doesn't agree with it is wrong.
Yeah.
It is a lie if it doesn't agree with God's word.
Indeed. Thank you, Brad. It is our standard of authority. And we must not forget that. But Alex, really tied into this, whether it be the deep state or this all part of the global reset, there are those that are believing we can become as gods. I mean, that's the lie of Satan that we have. But I'm thinking of this Yuval Noah Harari, this advisor here at the World Economic Forum. I mean, the statements he has made are just preposterous, but really elevating people like himself to the status of God.
Yep, and we did a whole episode on your program, Jim, and you played a lot of those clips. I hope people will go back and listen to that if they didn't hear it, because these people are very openly saying that they think they're going to evolve themselves into gods. They're going to be creators. They're going to determine for themselves what is good and evil. And that's how all of this is possible. I think the caller is absolutely right. Our Lord and our King made it very, very clear to us in Matthew and in Luke. Either you are with me or you are against me. And the divide is becoming increasingly obvious. You can tell who is on which side of the divide. And to the caller's point, he's absolutely right. If you look at the way God commands us to live, the free market system is what emerges. Thou shalt not steal implies that you have a clear right to property. The even weights and measures. You should not use fraud against your neighbor. So you can't use force to steal. You can't use fraud to deceive. And then we even have a clear warning against welfare-type systems, right? Paul writes that if you don't work, you don't eat. And so that doesn't mean that we as Christians don't have a responsibility to take care of orphans and widows and people who are less fortunate and people who are suffering. We absolutely do. But that's an individual obligation, and that is supposed to be on a voluntary basis. God loves a cheerful giver. Me asking a politician to go rob my neighbor to help somebody is still theft just because there's a political intermediary.
We'll be back in a minute. Alex Newman, our guest here today. We'll come back to more of your phone calls on Crosstalk. Our number 800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk coming your way on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. I am just hours home from the Moment of Truth Summit sponsored by Mike Lindell. I helped him organize this, and my camera crew produced the entire television special. And I was even shocked. And I've been on the inside for 18 months. In fact, I helped to introduce Mike Lindell to one of these individuals, Dennis Montgomery. We were criticized roundly, but we found out Sarah Carter, John Solomon, and Sean Hannity even were talking about him on television as well a few years ago. On the documentation, what is it, my friends? Bottom line, we've got a problem with machines, cyber hacking, and we've been ridiculed and criticized, but it appears now all the information is coming out. It's being documented. Apparently, we now have a uniparty, Republicans and Democrats working together to decide who they want in office, not we the people. More information at frankspeech.com.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. And friends, those of you within driving distance here to southeast Wisconsin, mark September 17 on your calendar to be at the Waukesha Expo. Alex will be our featured speaker that evening. The event gets underway 6 p.m. Central Time, and doors open at 5, free admission. Again, we do take up a free will offering to help offset the expenses of the evening. And those of you that are long distance, it'll be broadcast over the VCY American Network on that evening at 6 p.m. Central Time. We're going right back to the phone lines. Alex Newman is our guest here today on the broadcast. Let's go to Monroe. And Mark, you're on the air.
Yeah, my question is, and it might sound just a little bit extreme, but I'm going to ask anyhow. Do you think Mike Pence may actually be considered a conservative apostate? He did certify the 2020 election, and just recently he seemed to side with the FBI by advising people not to have a negative opinion towards him. And I find it very extreme, in my opinion, because of all the hoopla that went on with the Mar-a-Lago and especially with the recent comments by Zuckerberg lately. So that's my question.
Okay, and yeah, not to mention what we saw, the extremism outside the homes of Supreme Court justices as well. Alex, your comment on that?
Yeah, it's a good question. And, you know, I don't know Pence personally. I know I've had concerns about him for a long time. In fact, I put out an article right when Trump nominated him to be the vice president, expressing some of those concerns. He's got some very troubling things in his background, even on the issues that are supposedly his strong suit, the social conservatism, the standing up to the LGBT extremism and abortion. So I've had these concerns for many years, going back even to before 2016. And, you know, as for his relationship with God, obviously that's between him and God. But I did find his comments about the FBI to be very troubling. You know, none of us would say, and I'm not comparing FBI agents to Nazis, but none of us would say, well, you know, yeah, the Hitler was bad, but, you know, you can't blame the just the average concentration camp guard, right? And I was interviewing Sheriff Richard Mack over the weekend. We were at a conference in Missouri, and Sheriff Richard Mack was a sheriff in Arizona. He founded the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. They have hundreds of sheriffs and many more law enforcement officers who are members across the country. And as he was running for sheriff in Utah County some years ago, the FBI actually raided his home just days before the election. And he said it cost him the election. They never charged him with anything. They never did anything with it. But, of course, it made headlines. And one of the things that he said really stuck with me. He brought up Nuremberg, and he said, look, when you're working for whatever it is, the FBI or the IRS, and you're witnessing the corruption at the highest levels of your agency, just saying I'm doing my job is not an excuse. The honorable thing to do in that case would be to resign your post and find some other way, an honorable way to make a living. So I know there are plenty of decent men and women still working in the FBI. I know some of them, but I'm extremely concerned about the corruption. And at some point, even FBI agents and all of us, we have to say it is better to obey God rather than men. And no, I'm not going to be used as a tool to persecute political opponents or religious dissidents.
Fred is calling next. Hi, Fred. You're on the air.
Yes, I was checking into a temperature engineering equation, and I found out that if you look at the surface temperature at 60 degrees regarding global warming, and you go up 5,000 feet in the air, it's 32.5 degrees. But if you go up to 10,000 feet, it's like around 2.5 degrees or 5, something like that. So how can you have global warming with the hot air we have on the surface, and hot air rises, so it's being absorbed by the colder atmosphere. There is no global warming anywhere.
Thank you, Fred, for that. And Alex, I find it interesting. 1,100 scientists, scholars just said there is no climate emergency.
Yes, and this is an issue that I've been following very closely. In fact, you and I have done shows when I'm actually at these UN man-made global warming summits.
Yes.
And I'm absolutely convinced that this is all based on pseudoscience. The hypothesis, I think, is incorrect from the start. I've interviewed many UN scientists who told me that this is fraudulent, these are lies, and that they couldn't even in good conscience remain on the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change because it was so dishonest. So, you know, I don't claim to know all the science, although I was very honored when Trump's climate advisor, Dr. Will Happer of Princeton University, said he thought I knew more about climate science than most scientists.
Hmm.
But, you know, I don't claim to be an expert, but I do think that the models are very, very clearly fraudulent. And I think the hypothesis itself is not just dubious, but ridiculous.
Patrick is next. Morgantown, West Virginia, you're on the air.
Hey, I was going to ask about Pence as well. I would like to find out where I could find your article about him, because I was disturbed by his defending of the FBI and the Mar-a-Lago raid. But I do have a question. Yes, I saw this morning a post by Washington Post, a article, Biden yesterday making a comment that the Trump MAGA supporters are semi-fascism. I don't know if you've heard about that or not.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I've seen some very troubling thoughts, even from the former CIA director as well. Any comment there, Alex?
Yeah, thank you. So the first part, you can find that article. I believe it was published in early 2016. You'll find it at thenewamerican.com. If I remember correctly, the headline was something like Pence, globalist neoconservative or neocon or true conservative, something along those lines. Google has basically suppressed the New American, so you'll have to use a different search engine, but you can just go to thenewamerican.com and use our search function right there. Should be able to turn it up. As for Biden's fascism comments, very, very disturbing and quite ironic also, because fascism, really the merger of the state with corporate power, is essentially the system that the Biden administration is promoting. We see almost this fusion of the federal government with the mega corporations, including the big tech social media companies, including BlackRock, right? It's hard to tell where BlackRock ends and the Biden administration begins. There's so much crossover between the two. So, you know, that is the traditional definition of fascism. Hitler described it as national socialism. You know, he was the head of the Nazi party. But fascism and national socialism are essentially the same. And if anybody is fascistic, you know, Joe Biden and the Biden administration really fit that mold very well if you're using the correct definition.
Great. Thank you for the caller. And let me just say we're down to 10 seconds. We've got additional callers. We have just completely run out of time, but we, Lord willing, we'll get Alex back again here for a broadcast. So many troubling issues. But again, Alex, we must keep our eyes on the Lord in times like these.
Amen. And nothing else. Don't trust in princes. Don't trust in armies. Trust in Christ.
Amen. Amen. Alex, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Jim.
Friends, troubling times indeed. But let's continue to keep our nation in prayer. Pray for repentance to take place that begins in our own individual hearts and in our communities, in our churches, and in our nation as well. So let's stay in prayer. Let's stay active, an active agent of being salt, an active agent of being light. God bless you. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.